in the book of St. John, chapter 6. The text that claims our attention for this sanctuary service. Truly, it is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Again, it's our desire that you might hear it again for the first time. John chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 5. You will find words that sound like this. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Mm-hmm. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. There is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I want to talk to us this morning, as we're still connecting to the community, this getting ready to go out 5. The subject I want to use today is a power lunch.
All right.
I'm going to talk about a power lunch on this Youth Sunday as we are celebrating our young people. And I want to talk about a power lunch. There is a scripture in Proverbs 20:11. It says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." Yeah, you ought to embrace that. But I want to talk about a power lunch for a whole lot of reasons. I was trying to pour over this, had been dealing with it, turning around all week long. Had no idea what was going to transpire on yesterday like it did on yesterday. And I still didn't have it together, really. And every time I keep going back, he keeps giving me some more. I would go back and he would give me some more. I would go to sleep and he'd wake me up and give me some more. And the idea of the power lunch showed up in my spirit.
Amen.
Power lunch, Reverend, what's a power lunch? Well, for those who are in the corporate world, A power lunch is it's a working lunch. You know, it's convened with the sharpest minds, you know, the big dogs of the company, for the express purpose of getting a lot done in a short period of time. Between the bites. There's not a time for idle chit chat. You come away with a satisfied feeling of accomplishment because you go into the meeting with expectancy and not doubt. That's how you go there. And there is CNBC has a show called Power Lunch. It airs Monday through Friday at 3 p.m., 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of late for lunch. But in 1 hour, you can expect to get the latest and the greatest on stocks and markets, politics, real estate, media, technology, and more. They say they boasted themselves. This is the show. It sits at the intersection of power and money. Now, this is not a promo for the show. It's just helping me with the preaching, what I'm going to preach. So today, a power lunch has been convened, and you have been invited to the table.
Amen.
Man,
Amen.
Woman, boy, and girl. You are special. You're the prime. You're the hand picked, the called out. And please understand, please remember that this is a working lunch. When we get out of here, somebody could be saved. Somebody could get healed. Somebody could be delivered. Somebody could be set free. That is our expectation. All doubters leave the building right now.
All right.
By the time we reach the point of text, Jesus has just healed a man that has been laying around the pool of Bethesda 38 years.
Come on,
waiting on somebody to help him.
Yeah.
Waiting on somebody to put him in the pool when the angel comes and troubles the water so he can get the healing. But somebody always come jumping in front of him. But Jesus heals him.
Yeah.
And it was the Sabbath day. And so he spends the better part of chapter 5 defending himself and making claims that he is the Son of God. As chapter 6 opens, Jesus has entered into a boat and he's crossed over to the other side of a less populated area of the lake. The crowds, which determined to follow his every step, eager to see more miracles, look and they take note of his departure. They see he has left the area and they hurried around the lake. You hear me? I said they hurried around the lake. And their journey, y'all, was longer than Jesus, but they got in a hurry. They made haste and they got there. It was like they were there waiting on Jesus to show up. When the boat pulled up on the shore, they were there looking for him to get off. Yeah, so much for the rest that he thought he was going to get. But with the crowd still bombarding him on every side, he heads to the mountain. The multitudes followed, and full of eager and expectation, the text says, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Yeah, and it also says that the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh. So that probably helps us understand why the crowd was so long.
Right.
Large, because all these people making their way to Jerusalem to keep the feast.
Uh-huh.
But we learn from parallel accounts of other gospels that they stayed all day listening to his teaching. And I know I better be out of here before 12:30 because y'all won't have an issue with me. But the text says that they stayed all day listening to the preaching and to the teaching.
Mm-hmm.
You listen, Luke said the day began to wear away.
Uh-huh.
all day. It's Mark that says the day was now far spent.
Yeah.
And Matthew says that when it was evening. Mm-hmm. When it got evening, the Lord's heart went out in tenderness for the big crowd with which compromise of 5,000 men mm-hmm. plus women and children. Mm-hmm. And so we got a problem here in the text. Look at the problem. The problem in the text right there in verse number 5. It says, then when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company. There were a whole bunch of people. I just told you it's late in the evening. Mm-hmm. It's past lunchtime.
Right.
The children were... Well, are getting tired. I'm sure by now the children are getting tired. The disciples, like always, are impatient. Everybody is hungry. Doubtless Jesus was hungry too, but you never heard of him doing any miracles to satisfy his own needs.
Amen.
But the problem is they've been out there all day and nobody has anything to eat. And so what is it, if you keep reading in the text, we see that there is a call for some possibilities. I want to know about the possibilities. The B clause says that when he saw them, he said to Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? What is the possibility of doing something to fix this problem? What is the possibility of being able to get some food up and through here? Further reading of the text would teach us that the problem has been compounded because of not only is it late,
yeah.
Not only nobody has brought their lunch, but Jesus is asking Philip, where are we going to buy enough food to feed everybody? Uh-huh. It gets even grimmer still. Philip, you know, he asked Philip amongst everybody. I imagine Philip's like, what are you asking me for? Everybody else, because that's what you would say. Uh-huh. Why are you asking me? But you got to understand, Philip came from the neighboring town of Bethsaida. It would require a merchant that had plenty of money, with stock on hand sufficient to supply the needs of this multitude on short notice.
Right.
I don't know if you've been caught short-handed and you got to make up something real quick. The Lord, of course, was really just testing Philip because he already knew what he was going to do.
That's right.
And instead of Philip referring the problem back to Jesus in simple faith, Philip did some figuring. Jethro Bodine, he did some mental arithmetic, if you will, because of the problem. He says 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And so listen, since a working man was content with a penny as a fair wage for a day's work, Philip estimated that it would take the better part of 2/3 of the workers' annual wages to buy the bare minimum of what would be required. And that would be by no means enough to give everybody a satisfactory meal. You got a little appetizer. The entire idea of buying enough bread was ridiculous. They said, look here, we don't have enough money. Hold on, don't y'all go nowhere. Jesus is about to make possible what others say is impossible.
Impossible.
Look at it. He said we got a problem here and the possibilities are grim. It doesn't seem like anything's going to happen, but there's some prospects that show up in the text.
Yeah.
Look at that, verse number 8. In the meantime, Andrew had been looking around. He had spotted a lad. The word is Peterion, a little boy, preparing to do something to take care of his hunger. He was finna eat his own little lunch. He had come prepared. And I wish folk would show up prepared more frequently. You got to learn to come prepared for church, just like you go prepared for work. This boy showed up prepared. He brought the boy and his a little bit of food with him. And Andrew, he too had been doing some mental figuring. He was doing some calculating in his head. He says there is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Yeah, his math calculation were done because he looked at the smallness of the provision.
Right.
God, he could only see a little bit. But the idea of feeding all these people was wholly just crazy, both to Philip and to Andrew. Because, you know, barley was the food of the poor.
Uh-huh.
That's all he had. 5 loaves were small, flat barley wafers. The fish were the size of sardines. Help me, Jesus. So the meal was barely sufficient for this little boy, let alone to be in the mouths of some grown hungry men. But this is the only prospect they have. Please remember, y'all, this is a working lunch. This is a power lunch. And Jesus tells the disciples to make the men sit down. And he goes to work.
Yeah.
He goes to work because provision is about to show up. Look at the text. There's provision. It says that he takes the loaves. I got to pause parenthetically to let you know here in the text. I know we want to glamorize this text. The preachers will let you know that somebody going to ask the boy for his lunch. And would you give it to Jesus and let Jesus work with it? No, the text says Jesus took it. I ain't trying to say nothing. I'm just saying what I said, that he took the loaves. That's what he did. He's going to work, y'all. He took the loaves. And then the Bible says that he gave thanks.
Yes.
Took time to tell it off. Thank you for what I have.
Yeah.
Listen, I know you don't have enough. I know you don't think you're ever going to get enough. But you ought to pause every now and then and tell God thank you for what you already have. God, I thank you. Thank you for my small. Look, he takes the loaves. He gives thanks. And then he says he distributes it to his disciples and the disciples to the people that are sitting down. And he does the same thing with the fishes. And the Bible says he does it until they wanted no more. Yeah, there it is. The provision has been made. But look at the provision. Because initially the provision is only 5 barley loaves, small biscuits, and 2 small fishes, some sardines and crackers. That's all that they have. That was the provision. But can I tell you, it was plenty.
Yeah.
The text says that it was plenty. There in verse 12 says, when they were filled. When I look at the text and it says that they were filled there in verse 12, it suggests to me that everybody had enough. That's what plenty means, is enough. That's all plenty is, y'all, is enough. And we ought to be able to shout over enough. Glory to God. Yeah, y'all want, can you just shout over enough? Can you tell God thank you for enough? But I couldn't stop there because the text doesn't stop there. It was more than plenty. And I had to find another P word, prophet. So it was a plethora. There's a plethora of food. And one of the meanings of the word plethora is it's a large or excessive amount of something. Jesus says to his disciples, look at here, gather up the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. Now, if there's some leftovers, that means we had more than enough. I know some of y'all don't care for leftovers. You're not going to eat them more than one day. But can I tell you there's a blessing in a leftover? Because if you got leftovers, you understand that the blessings of God on your present life are more than enough. God, I thank you. Yeah, more than enough. I'm through. Here's more than enough. I got one more Pete. He said that it's more than enough because I told you Jesus was getting ready to show you how he can make possible the impossible.
Right.
Look at the proof. The proof is right there. The proof of the impossible being possible. I told y'all, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Look at that verse number 13. When they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that eaten. Now, there's proof right there. Over and above what they had already eaten. You got 5 baskets left and 5,000 men, women and children have eaten to their fill, and we still got some more. And can I tell you, if they hung around a few more hours, they could probably go back and eat again. That's how God does things. There's proof that he's able to do it. But y'all, it's Youth Sunday, and I got to help us understand this whole picture. This is what drew me to this text. The crowd had showed up. At the beginning of chapter 6. Then when they got there, they were following Jesus.
Yeah.
They had come there because of all of the miracles that they had seen Jesus do. They're following Jesus. But when we get here, Jesus turns the attention to this little boy.
Right.
We don't get no name. We got a little boy.
Uh-huh.
Little boy has come with his little 2-piece fish dinner.
Yeah.
What I didn't understand was, how does he have a snack?
Come out here.
And now nobody else has anything. I'm sure that Andrew would have found somebody else that was hiding something in their pocket. But he said, all we got is a lad.
Yeah.
5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. It tripped me out because what probably has happened here, since Fagan's, is that mama done let him go along with somebody else. And whoever she let him go with, they ain't have sense enough to prepare for the journey. But a good mother gonna prepare for her child before they leave home. There it is. This boy has, the Lord has placed the attention on this boy. Look, I like what's going on in the text, because right here, you have never heard the boy say a word. There's no recording that the boy has said anything. There's no recording that the boy said, no, you can't have my lunch, because I know I tried that on some of y'all children. They're not going to. We don't get anything about this boy ever saying a mumbling word. But the end results give proof to his power, to his prospect, to his provision, to his possibilities, the potential that was with them, because there was plenty left over from the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Why? Because he let the Lord use him. Let him use you. Let him use you. Let him use you. Let him use you. You ought to let the Lord use you. Jesus has shown the impact that this lad had on this great multitude. And that's what I wanted to help us to see this afternoon. That on yesterday, when we were at the Broadest Memorial Baptist Church, this group called Rise Against Hunger. They have a mission to end world hunger by 2030. We packed 10,000 bags of food to go across the globe to feed those in need. I'm trying to remember if I got my facts together. They said one box would feed 50 children for an entire year. One box.
All right.
And our children, glory to God, Nadia, Olivia, Christian, and Elijah came ready and willing to help. They allowed the Lord to use them, and they impacted the entire globe. Do you not know what you did on yesterday? I know you didn't know when you got up that you were going to bless an entire world. But you have the power, the potential, the possibility to be the blessing to an entire world because God can use you. Young people, let him use you. Just like you followed your parents, follow the Lord. Let him use you till he use you up. And what I know about him using you up, he don't use you up. He use you to the end and then extends your end. God, I bless his name today. These young people showed up, went to work, not knowing the work that they were doing. Nadia got so caught up in what she was doing. They were trying to leave because we were at the end. In an hour and 30 minutes, we have packed 10,000 bags.
Yes, sir.
But they banged the gong every time. Uh-huh. And we were at 9,000. Uh-huh. And most of us had run out of bags.
Yes, sir.
We couldn't have no more bags to fill. Since William said we got to get back because we got to be on a Zoom call. But Nadia ain't trying to leave just to hear that last go.
That's God. Amen.
Woo! Glory to God. She had fixed it so that in the midst of working through some stuff, she began to understand that her work really mattered. And it wasn't going to be finished until the gong rang for the 10,000th bag. Glory to the Lamb of God. There was a problem there. There's hunger all over the world. They're trying to stamp it out one bag at a time. So thank you for your service. Thank you for helping. But here, we got to get out of here. There was an even greater problem. There was a world of lost sinners. Just lost. That's our problem. We couldn't get up and help ourselves if we could.
Right.
And there was the possibility, the look for possibilities of those who might could help. But it's sad to say there was no one suitable to be a savior.
Jesus.
Looking for prospects all over the place, but we can't seem to find any. And all of a sudden, Jesus steps up and says, Father, prepare me a body. I'll go down and redeem man back to you. Yeah, he was the prospect. And look at the provision that for us to receive the salvation that he offers, provision had to come only by the way of the blood of the cross. Help us, Jesus. But can I tell you that the blood of Jesus, it was plenty. It was enough to save everybody.
Yes, Lord.
In here.
Yeah.
And the folk that ain't made it in here yet.
Yeah.
It was plenty, y'all. Yeah. Blood of Jesus was plenty enough. And like I told you before, we ought to be able to shout on plenty. But it was more than that. There was a plethora because I heard Jesus say, I am come that thou might have life and have it more abundantly.
Yeah.
The life comes because he died.
Yeah.
We have life because he died. And he didn't stay dead. Y'all know he didn't stay dead. He got up. The Father raised him up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. But how do you know, Reverend, that he got up? How do you know that they pierced him in the side and blood and water came streaming down?
Yeah.
They buried him in a tomb. How do you know that he got up? I come to tell you that he lives.
Yes,
he lives. I know he lives because he lives on the inside of me. And I know he lives because he's still working on me. And he's still working through me. Glory to God. I am proof. Did you hear me what I said? I am proof that Jesus lives. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know life worth the living. Just because he lives. See, the power lunch gets together and convene with those ones that are able to do something. And sometimes we got people in the room who are supposed to know something, but everybody don't know nothing.
That's right.
But it's always one who got the answer. It's always one who chimes in to find the book. And can I tell you, we have all been convened at the table.
Yes, Lord.
We ain't got nothing to bring.
My God, my God.
But Jesus is here.
Hallelujah.
And he says, I got it all under control. Glory to the Lamb of God. And we're about to dismiss this power lunch. And you can go down from this place shouting. Because God has done a great work. Watch what I tell you. God has done a great work in this place. Watch the testimony happen. Watch the testimony. God has done what God does. And we are the beneficiaries of great blessings. He restores joy. He lifts up bowed down heads. He gives us strength to go on. Just a little while longer. See, you think your strength runs out. But he has a plethora of blessings for you. You will never deplete him. Because the more you get from him, the more he has for you. Glory to the Lamb of God. Keep showing up at the power lunch. It's power lunch around here every Sunday, 11 o'clock. Because great minds are showing up. Convening to work out the problems that show up in our lives. And we ain't got to worry about it if we don't have anything. Jesus will always be here. Glory to the Lamb of God. Amen. As we stand.